Hey everybody, this is the Mean Green Nation podcast, and I'm your host Adam. Today we have a special guest, Justin Brummett from sportdfw.com. That's a fan-sided site, fan-sided site, yeah, I said that, all together. So we're going to talk Mean Green, athletic, sports, and things, and stuff. Lots of stuff going on, not a whole lot of good stuff. The basketball team, not really doing as well as we'd hoped. I know that's been kind of the running theme for the last 3-4 weeks. We were hoping that maybe that would change. It hasn't. And now we're getting into the meat of the season. You got Sun Belt Conference play coming up. Not only that, we have Lehigh and CJ McCollum and his 24-point-whatever points per game coming in here. And North Texas is we only managed 45 points last week.
Yeah.
What the hell is that? And let's see. Also, we got a couple guys getting kicked off the team for stealing stuff at the department store at Golden Triangle Mall, which is in and of itself just weird. Who steals from Golden Triangle Mall? What is there to be stolen at Golden Triangle Mall? That's the real question, I think. Anyway, so let's lots to talk about. Let's get to talking. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Adam, for having me along. It's very excited to be here. Talk some Mean Green sports.
Yeah, you don't hear a whole lot of Mean Green sports talk on the radio or otherwise, do you?
No, that's what we need more of. It's great. It's great sports talk. Not a time right now, though. I mean, a lot of fans are probably pretty disappointed with the state of the athletic department, especially the men's side of things right now.
Yeah, and you know, like it or not, you know, I'm not trying to be like sexist or anything. That really is like the moneymaker. That's what everybody cares about.
I kind of agree. I can't sit and watch a women's basketball game. And I think they're great at what they do, and I wish them the best, but I can't sit through one.
Yeah, me either. I think that's pretty much the case. We won't, you know, we won't knock the women's sports, but, you know, the facts are facts. It's just not as fun to watch. Anyway, also not fun to watch was the game last week, 45-40 against Southeastern Louisiana. Going into that game, I'm thinking that should be a blowout. I was expecting a blowout. I was expecting that to be the kind of game where we, you know, regain our bearings, you know, get some confidence, shots start falling, you know, it's, you know, the offense runs smoother because they're not as athletic or what have you, whatever the case may be. But apparently we're not very good at playing not very good teams. So does that mean that we're not a very good team? What does that mean?
I don't know what it means exactly, but they looked horrible. And the good thing for the team, I guess, is there was no one there to see it. I think I was among like 50 total people in the stands, including the kids that did the halftime show.
Yeah.
So there weren't a lot of people there. I don't know what to think of them right now. They're really struggling. It was a really tough game against a team they should have blown out of the water. I mean, they have one win on the season coming in, and you only beat them by 5 points. It's not a good way to go into the heart of your schedule here, and probably the toughest game you've had in a long time, trying to hold on to stopping McCollum, because he's going to be a tough guy to guard. And Lehigh only has 2 losses on the season. They're a good team, and they're going to be here in 2 nights, and it's going to be pretty difficult.
Yeah, and if you are like out there and don't know who Lehigh is, they're the ones that beat Duke, you know, in the first round. Was it first round?
Yeah, I'm a Duke fan.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And, it was horrible. McCollum dropped 30, and they were a 15 seed and knocked them off in the first round.
Yeah, yeah. I knew they couldn't be a 16 seed because that's never happened.
That's never happened. Yeah, yeah, it's not. I don't think it's going to happen. But it shouldn't happen for a 15 seed to win. But he had 30. He's a great scorer. I think he's averaging like 24.9 a game.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And Benford said after the game he couldn't believe we were in there waiting for him in the press conference, because he thought he's like, why did y'all stay around after a game like that? So it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I think the official attendance was listed at like 2,000, so that was like way off then by about 2,000 people is what you're telling me.
Yeah. There might have been that many. I mean, I think at halftime though, a lot of people left because it was just an ugly game. It was hard to watch because it was just, we shot like 29%, I think.
Yeah, it was like they missed all their 3-pointers, and I think they shot like 13 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were 0 for 10 down there, and they were just horrible. The offense looked really bad.
And see, like for me, I feel like the whole season has been leading up to that kind of game, because it sure feels like it's just as hard to shoot every game for this team. And like this one, it just, you know, they actually didn't make anything. But it's been feeling like that the whole way. Like their offense has been like, you know, hesitant. They haven't been able to score. And a lot of people say that it's, you know, like, well, we lost Brandon Walton. We don't have a shooter. We'd be so much better with a shooter. And if TJ Taylor was, you know, granted eligibility or like the waiver, whatever it was, you know, like we'd be a totally different team. But I don't really see that because
I mean, Taylor and Walton are very good shooters. But you can't tell me that Jordan Williams can't hit a three, and you can't tell me that Tony Mitchell can't shoot the ball, and Jacob Holman can't shoot the ball, and Alzi can't shoot the ball. I mean, they're all decent shooters. They're just not making them. And it's part of the – I think the main problem is just the offense isn't working to get them shots, and it just – they just don't look like they can run a half-court offense at all. If they're not out running the fast break, then they're not looking good at all.
Yeah, and I think it's even got to the point where even when they're running a fast break, it's still really hard for them to score. I think I've seen CJ miss like bunnies in transition. I know in this last game, there was a couple that he just totally blew. Like he was like, "Oh man, here, I'm at the rim. I forgot how to do this. What do I do? What am I doing?"
Yeah, Alzi's about the only guy that seems to be finishing really well on the break at all, and he kind of does it. I mean, he's not even automatic there, but it's just, I mean, too many missed shots, easy missed shots. And, you know, one guy I'm really impressed with so far is Roger Franklin. I mean, he's been the most consistent player probably all season. But he, like last game, I think Sunday night, he started off with 8 points right off the bat. And, you know, he finishes with 12, I think. But, I mean, he wasn't aggressive the rest of the game. But he was the guy that got it started for him. I think he had 8 of their 18 points.
Yeah, and he gets a lot of his points off of hustle, which, like, you know, you hustle, you can get points, get putbacks, that kind of thing. Or, you know, he steps out for a little jumper here and there, but that's pretty much, like, his ceiling, you know? He's not really going to score 40 a game. And the guys that are talented, the guys that have the skill to do that kind of thing, I'm talking about Tony Mitchell, basically. Yeah. Where's his spot? You know what I mean? Like, last season, you know, we knew he could score in transition. We knew he could score inside if we got him the ball. We know he could, you know, he displays a little outside game a little bit. But this season, anytime he touches the ball, it seems like he's not comfortable. Like, he's not where he wants to be. And holy hell, he just wants to pass the ball.
He gets the ball out of his hand faster than any superstar I've ever seen. But it's amazing. And, you know, we grill Tony Benford about it all the time because we wonder why he's not getting shots. And he says he wants him to shoot the ball, you know, 30 times a game. He really does. But the other night, I mean, I remember a couple times he had the ball behind the 3-point line, took a pump fake. The guy went for it, took a dribble in, and passed the ball off instead of taking the wide open jumper. I don't get it. He's got to be more aggressive if they want to be better, because he is their best player, and he's one of the best players in the country when he's playing that way. But he seems like he has no confidence right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like he's never really been like, you know, he's not like a guy like McCollum that could shoot it or like has confidence in like one or two things. Like, you're a basketball player, you know your shot, and everything else is kind of like an offshoot of that. Like, you want to get the ball in your spot. So, you know, like Kobe Bryant kind of wants it on the elbow a little bit. Where does Tony Mitchell want the ball? You know, like, where is he comfortable?
It seems like they're trying to get him the ball in the post. I don't know if that's where he's most comfortable at, but I don't see him as a back to the basket type of post player.
Me either.
But that's where they're trying to get the ball to him, but they're packing it in so much they can't. So he's just getting the ball outside the 3-point line, and he's aired, I mean, 10 threes probably this year.
Yeah, I know, that's so ridiculous. Close.
He looks so uncomfortable back there, even though in practice he can shoot the ball really well. He just looks so uncomfortable with it when he's in the game, and he's even missing shots inside. I mean, easy dunks sometimes inside that it looks like he should be able to put down while he's getting fouled. You know, just if he just lay it up instead of just trying to throw it down. I mean, he's missing a lot of easy ones too, and just a terrible shooting percentage so far this year. It's not good.
So how much of that? Because let me just say it first. I'm of the mind that, like, you know, basketball is a rhythm game, and I've never played golf, but I imagine it's the same way in golf. Like So things get in your head, and it starts affecting the whole of your game. Like, you can't hit a putt or something, and you can't, all of a sudden, now you can't even hit the ball. And, like, in basketball, like, say if you're not comfortable inside, or you lost confidence in your shot, like your outside shot, Now you're like forcing to drive inside, and so like it changes your whole game because you lose the balance. You know, teams can defend you easier. I'm trying to figure out what it is for Tony Mitchell, and I guess for the whole team. Like, is it just a shot? Is it like they lost confidence in their shot? I kind of feel like it's the change in offense. I mean, what do you stand on Tony Benford's new offense, the 3-out-2-in motion, which is pretty basic, by the way.
It's very basic. I can't speak to the golf thing because I'm terrible all the time. So I don't know if you ever get a rhythm because my rhythm's always negative.
I don't know this rhythm you speak of. Yeah.
I've been pretty outspoken about it on Twitter. I know I think I've talked to you a few times about it. Just I don't think Benford should be gone. I don't think he's a huge problem, but the offense that he's running, I don't think is working. And, you know, the defense, Johnny Jones had the offense going pretty well here. He was no guru, but he had it going pretty good. But the offense looks so terrible. The defense has been much better, but the offense now in Benford tries to say, you know, we've scored, you know, they scored 80 against Lafayette. They scored 83 against Jackson State. I mean, they've scored 80 two other times and in the 70s the rest of the time. So, I mean, they're scoring the ball okay, but it seems like the offense looks terrible. They're rotating the ball around. They're getting late in the shot clock. And if they can't get the ball inside, then they're settling for outside jumpers, and they've shown they can't hit them this year. So I don't know what it is, but the players don't seem to have any confidence shooting the ball. I thought for a minute that Jacob Holman was kind of getting a little rhythm because he was shooting really well for a few games there.
Right.
And Chris Jones has stepped up and scored a little bit, but for the most part, they just can't score unless they're getting the ball inside. And really, when Tony's not in there, I mean, Roger can bang inside a little bit, but they have no more size because Keith Coleman's shown that he can't play at all. That's just the bottom line. The guy looks lost out there all the time.
Yeah. You make a good point there that the offense under Johnny Jones wasn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, on the edge of the basketball knowledge there. I mean, but they, like you said, they did score. It seemed like the team kind of understood what they're doing. And sometimes that's all it takes. If you just know what your role is, you can play, you know, without thinking. And it looks like this team is thinking a whole lot. And I think the evidence of that is guys that are really good and have shown that they're really good, Tony Mitchell especially, but Chris Jones in particular. And that he looks like he doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. I've seen him, you know, try to pass the ball, and it's not on the money. And I don't really buy the whole thing. Like I know a lot of message boarders are like, this team, they just let the hype go to their head. They don't want to listen to the coach. It's on them. They should practice harder, et cetera, et cetera. Do you buy that?
I don't buy that either. They practice really hard. I've been there, and Benford, if they don't practice hard, he's on them. So, I mean, they work really hard, and I think they believe in him and think he could be a good coach. And he's was obviously a pretty hot name coming in as far as, you know, assistant coaching ranks where he's been. I mean, coming from Buzz Williams and stuff. But Alzi said after the game they lost to UTA, he said, you know, they're still trying to get adjusted to the offense because, you know, last year we had a system, and now it's just kind of, you know, going out and doing our own thing. And I think that's one thing that some guys would probably like in the system. I know, you know, Jordan Williams probably would prefer to have kind of a free roaming, do what you want kind of offense. But, you know, Johnny Jones had a system put in place that they knew what they were supposed to do. And it's kind of up to them to do what they want to do right now. And it's not working out.
Yeah, like it's hard to build that kind of like just go out, roll the ball out there, and, you know, you guys score. Like that free, like, I know there's like that four, like drive and kick kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to, I mean, you want to get out on the player. You want to play that way, you would think, but it just doesn't seem practical for an offense that's trying to win games. I mean, yeah, it's probably fun to just go out there and do your own thing, but I just can't imagine it being a good offense going forward. And I don't think, I mean, there's nothing that's going to change with it. It's his offense. It's what he does. I don't think it's going to change. It's just we got to see if they ever get better with it.
Well, two things there. One, I think it's hard to institute that kind of offense in college, especially in today's college environment where, you know, guys are leaving after 1 or 2 years. I think I read something where there were like 445 transfers like this year.
Yeah.
So like there's like all kinds of turnover in college basketball. So it's hard to institute like this thing where you're like go out there and just trust each other to play, you know, and just kind of read each other, that kind of thing. Because it takes years of experience. I think NBA teams can do that because you have 82 games a year, 4 or 5 years under a system to get to know each other. It's hard to do that. 30 games, 2 years, like, you know, it's like nothing. And practicing or playing in the rec center is not really going to build that kind of knowledge of each other and, you know, in-game environment. So I don't know if that's the best idea.
I agree. You look at the senior on this team. The only one that's been here for 4 years is Jacob Holman. I mean,
yeah.
So I mean that speaks to its own that you don't have a whole lot of guys who've been together for a long time, and especially with Jones and Williams and Mitchell not being there all last season. So I mean, they were guys who weren't there, and then you have a couple newcomers. You know, you have Overlander and Coleman who are new, and Hardwick that's new. So I mean, and Patton. So. There's not a lot of guys that have been here for a long time together or played a long time together.
Yeah, and see, the second part of it is that I think as a coach, you definitely have to have some flexibility. I don't like guys that are like, oh, this is my system, you will adapt to this system, especially given the circumstances right now. Like, they knew their system, and surely Tony Benford is knowledgeable enough about basketball to adapt his way of thinking to suit them and kind of the system they were running and maybe mix in his own thing. Like, we're going to run, you know, like 70% of the system you guys were running, but 30% of mine, and we'll slowly increase that as the year goes on. Something like that, you know? Did you kind of see any of that?
I don't see a whole lot of fluctuation, especially in practice. I mean, they're doing one thing when they're running the offense. But I don't know how much that stems from what he likes to run or how much the assistant coaches have, you know, a say in that. Or what kind of offense you'd even try, and I don't know if he knows how to teach it the way that he would need to. He's his first head coaching job, so I mean he's never done it by himself before. But I don't know what Marquette ran. I don't know what these guys run at other places. But I don't know if you have something in your back pocket you're just thinking about running. I think if you go into a head coaching job, you know what offense you want to run. You know, if you're Syracuse, you're Jim Boeheim, you know what you want to do. If you go to a new job, you know it's going to be the same thing you've done your whole career. So I don't know. I don't know what else he would. I don't know if he knows the offense as well to switch it up to something else. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah, and that's an interesting scenario. I don't know, like, because, like, you know, I'm thinking about like high profile coaches that have changed jobs. I think about like Roy Williams he took his like fast break and that early break thing that he had. He took it to North Carolina, but it's different there because you're like reloading every year. You know, you
get have a ridiculous amount of talent there every year. So, I mean, you can't expect that from North Texas, and you got to look at it differently too. So, I mean, but this team is a talented team.
Right.
That's the problem with it right now. And they have a lot of problems besides just the offense too. I mean, they can't out-rebound anybody.
Hmm.
And that's one of the biggest problems. I mean, they got out-rebounded on Sunday night by a team that's just not good. And their shooting's just terrible. So I don't know. There's so many questions with them as the problem. They just have so many questions. And you know, Roger Franklin was saying that, man, we just wanted to get this win so the coaches wouldn't be honest and stuff. He said after the game, and he's like, we just want to, you know, go into the Christmas break 6-6 and you know, head into the second half of the season and get it done in conference play. But I just don't know if they can even stay with Lehigh.
I know. I had – my expectations before and, you know, now are totally different. Like, I don't even know if we can break even in conference play this season. excuse me. So what you're saying, basically, you know, we can't rebound, we can't shoot, we can't defend, is that we're not good at basketball, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I think they're okay defensively. I think defensively they've shown they can do some pretty good things.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, we're really good at jumping in the lanes because we're long and rangy and that kind of thing, and Tony Mitchell's good at blocking shots.
Yep, yeah.
But, you know, like, a defensive possession doesn't end until you get the rebound.
Exactly.
And yeah, so, like, it, like my coach used to always say that you haven't played defense if you haven't got the rebound.
Exactly. And they were allowing, I think, 40% from behind the arc for opponents. So, I mean, people were being able to shoot three pretty good on them. But I asked them, you know, if they thought that it was a problem going for block shots, that was something that would make them not get rebounds. Because I think I see that they're out of position all the time. I mean,
right.
Tony Mitchell picks up free throw or fouls all the time that way. just because he's going for block shots and he's out of position once they, you know, once the ball is recovered by the other team because you're going for the block shots.
Right.
And of course, everybody loves to see the block shot, but it's just, it's not practical when it goes out of bounds and you give the team the ball right back to keep going.
Yeah.
So they said that it was nothing, you know, it's just, they just got to work harder and be tougher inside to get the boards. But I think they look for the spectacular play a little too much on offense too, but particularly on defense, trying to block shots.
Yeah, and that's the thing about like effort, because a lot of people, you know, that say you don't know something, you just say, why don't they just try harder? I don't understand. A lot of you can try really hard and still get beat if you're out of position. If you don't know, like, you know, you don't try smarter, you know what I mean? Like, you don't try to get into position. Try really hard to get in position or to stay in position or to not jump for that block shot or not throw it out of bounds, even though it looks really awesome. Those all require effort, some amount of effort, either like mental discipline effort or, you know, like actually just beating your guy to the spot kind of effort.
Yeah, I mean, being fundamentally sound is something that you have to do to win games. You can't just go out there and play, you know, street ball and hope that it works. So I mean, they need to get better on that regard. They turn the ball over a lot too, and they have been recently at least, and it's that's a problem of doing the same thing. I mean, they just go for the easy play and the smart play, and I think they'd look a lot better, but it tends that they go to get the fans off their feet, and I get that because it's fun to watch and fun to play that way. But
yeah, and see that's where I give that's where I'm a little bit more critical on Tony Benford than I am on the players, because as a player, that's what you're doing. You know, you can only control what you're doing, and it's the coaches that are supposed to look at the other four players and kind of give you guidance on where you are. You know, like, hey, you're getting a little too far this way. Come back to the middle. We need the all five players being on the same page. If you don't know what page you're on, because the coach is not letting you know what page you're on, so to speak, then can you really be blamed for, you know, going off script? If, you know, I'm mixing all kinds of metaphors here, but you see what I'm saying, right?
I completely agree. But I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know if we have players that just aren't making the right decisions or if it's him that's not doing that. But I know they work on a lot of that stuff in practice. You know, I think the other day in practice they worked for 2 hours just on a box out drill. But then it doesn't equate to the other end of the spectrum. So, and I think their lack of size and lack of a true big man inside really hurts that too. But I mean,
you have a big Roger, man that can play
6 foot,
right?
5.
Yeah.
And he's playing the 4 most of the time. But I mean, he works very hard, but it's just not going to get it done if inside when you're playing bigger people. But and the teams in conference will have bigger people than what. I mean, who was it the other night for UTA? Their star. He just
I can't remember.
Fantastic game. I think he had like 28 points and 14 rebounds or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing is that we expected, I don't know, maybe somewhat unrealistically, we kind of expected this team to at least maybe not actually make an impact, but at least be able to make an impact. Like maybe they blew it in conference play, or I mean in the conference tournament or something like that. But we kind of expected that if, you know, everything went right, no one was injured, et cetera, that this team could make a run in the NCAA tournament, not just the conference tournament. Yeah. And I don't know if that's possible now. Like the opponents are only going to get bigger and stronger and more disciplined from here on out. And that's, you know, those are the three things that we don't do well against.
I agree. And, you know, I think they needed to show, I mean, there's no way they're getting in obviously now unless they win the tournament. So, but you know, if they wanted to have the opportunity to make the NCAA tournament without making and winning the conference championship, they needed to show a little more against Creighton and probably beat them. And then they needed to show more in the NIT tip off at the beginning.
Oh yeah. That was a wasted opportunity.
Huh? Huntsville. But I mean, if you beat Huntsville, you're in the game with Kansas State, and that's another game you can add to your resume to maybe get you in if you stumble in the tournament. But now they have to be great at that time of the year. And it's a lot of pressure on a team to go out and win it. I mean, they had a good team last year. Didn't, you know, once they got that far in and didn't win it.
Right.
But I mean, you have a lot of work to do because you're getting into conference play, and the conference isn't easy because there are teams like Middle Tennessee, who are very good. Western Kentucky's good. Arkansas State's pretty good. There are teams that can beat them if they're playing this way, especially.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think it's the good and bad about college basketball is that you know, like best case scenario, you know, we get some attention, you know, get everybody hyped, you know, get on some talk shows or something, get the local. It's basically attention. The early season, the regular season was going to be attention because college basketball, even the major teams. I think the number one Indiana got upset the other night against Butler, right? Yeah, and like it did a 1.5. And then the bowl game did a 1.9. So yeah,
exactly. I mean, and it was a terrible bowl game. I mean,
yeah,
it was 49-48 final. I mean, no. yeah. So it's you know, and that's what you want to do. You want to try and get the headlines because that gets people talking about you, and it gets you the opportunity to boost your resume and have the people who or the selection committee at the end of the year say, "Hey, you remember whenever we heard that you know Creighton got beat by North Texas at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. or when they went to Virginia and beat them?" And so, I mean, those are the things you need to get. I mean, just like on Thursday against Lehigh, you want people to say, well, North Texas beat Lehigh. Yeah. You know, they shut down McCollum. Whatever it is, you know, you want to get those headlines. And they don't mean a whole lot, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, but they help a little bit.
Yeah,
that's all you need to do. It's more than the negative of it, which when they're talking about, you know, a North Texas team that people thought was supposed to be pretty good, and they're not even 500, yeah. You know, so – they're losing to Division II teams.
Yeah, they're all little stones that help you build a program, basically. Okay. It's the word of mouth here and there that, you know, maybe right now, you know, increases attendance a little bit, sells a couple more shirts, yep. That gets awareness out there that makes it a little bit easier to get a recruit or you get better. I don't know, you know, all those good little things that you want, little positive stones, you take them where you can get them. And right now they're missing all those opportunities. It's kind of like you're trying to get into, you know, the school you want, and the resume is going to be looking terrible, so they have to rely all on their, you know, their essay submission. And that essay is going to be, and has always been, the conference tournament. You nail that, you're in. That's the guaranteed. And what they do, if they do that, go that far, I have no idea.
Yeah, you just don't want to have to leave it to that is the problem with it.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's like the football program and Coach McCarney, you know, going to Kansas State and playing, you know, even with them for most of the game. It's, you know, you got to have things like that to be stepping stones for the program. And then if you go the rest of the season and lose teams and lose games you're supposed to win, you know, then, you know, you've gotten rid of all that momentum and they didn't even get the momentum. So now it's all downhill every time you lose to a team you should beat.
Yeah. Let me see. What else is bad? no, you know, the last thing we're going to say about basketball, I guess, is that, and then we talk about the football terribleness that just happened. Is that, like, it's not even that they're losing. It's the way that they're losing, you know? Because I think I could stomach putting up 85 points a game where Tony Mitchell is, like, dominating, scoring, you know, 20, 22 points a game, three or four block shots and a couple highlights. But when he goes out and scores only 8 points and the whole team is depressing, you know, that's a killer for everything that they built up last year in this way. I mean, they have the Tony Mitchell website and all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, the thing that really stood out to me was the game where he got one shot.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was a spectacular one shot. I mean, it was a fun dunk to watch. I enjoyed watching it. But if you are going to be a lottery pick in the NBA draft, mm-hmm. a potential lottery pick, I don't, you know, you can't just have one shot. I was sitting next to a Celtics scout the other night and on Sunday night, and I can't imagine how disappointed he was to come all the way to Benton, Texas to see Tony Mitchell, you know, have 12 points and 5 boards or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it looked completely unspectacular.
Yeah. And to my untrained non-scout eye, I would say that my biggest concern about Tony Mitchell as he goes on into his pro career is just that, like, he's raw offensively, and that means that he doesn't have one good, like, one skill. Like, dunking the ball is kind of like a talent. I don't know if it's a skill.
I would say it's a skill, yeah.
Yeah, it's
athleticism. It's a talent.
Yeah, he doesn't have one good basketball thing that he does well. Where you look at guys that, you know, like, that can shoot, you can build off that. You can learn to drive. You look at, like, J.J. Redick, you know, your dookie. Yeah, I mean, he could shoot.
Ball.
He could shoot lights out. And once he built up his NBA game, like the little other things, and supplemented his game, you know, he's a nice NBA player now.
Exactly. Nothing spectacular, but, you know, he'll do what you want him to do.
Mm-hmm. And he can still shoot. He can still do that.
And the thing with Tony, and I don't like to point out bad things about players, but it just seems like from my observation of him in the games this season is that the effort isn't there all the time like it should be. running back on you know, breaks or transition defense and things like that. I see too much of not being engaged. And Coach Benford even said, you know, he didn't like Tony's, you know, energy early in last week's game. And so that concerns me when a coach is talking about it too.
Well, see, and that's a weird thing, because, like, I never saw Tony Mitchell as, like, a guy that didn't work really hard or wasn't engaged, because he seemed like he was that way all last season. I mean, I never heard that from him before. And I wonder, you know, this is my comment. I don't know. I don't want to be, you know, bash the coach guy, but I wonder how much of that is just, like, not believing in the system. I mean, it's hard to get, it's hard to go 100% if you don't know if you're, you know.
Are you looking at this season and saying, man, I could be in the NBA right now? I mean, I don't know what he feels about that, but he came back for a purpose that most people thought was coming to win a conference championship and going to the tournament, and right now it's just not looking like it's going to end up being that way. Still very early, but it just doesn't look like it's going to end up that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of basketball to be played.
And also, I mean, I'm sure we're about to segue into the problems off the field with the football team, but this team's not shy of problems off the court either. I mean, you know, Tony was suspended, or he didn't start one game because of team violations. Last other night, Jordan Williams didn't even play the first half because of breaking a rule, and Keith Coleman didn't play a whole exhibition game because of it. So, you know, the guys are having problems off the court too that we don't know a whole lot about. You know, Benford doesn't give a whole lot of detail into it, but you know, you want the team to be more disciplined off the court too.
Speaking of discipline, you got some players that are about to be disciplined for being undisciplined, I guess. Antoine Jimerson and Freddie Warner, two guys like that are, you know, are projected to be key members of the next year's football team, got arrested for jacking some shirts, putting shirts in a backpack or something like this. I don't even know what they're doing.
They stole some stuff from Macy's is what I heard. I think Brett Vito was telling me about it the other day.
So they were stealing some things from Macy's.
Department store, whichever one it was. They were stealing clothes, putting them in backpacks, their school backpacks, I believe.
And they got caught. They got seen on. They were not even good enough to not get caught. I've accidentally stolen some things from Macy's before. It's one thing. I was shopping with my wife, and she had a purse on. She's like, "Oh, let me try it," and walking around. And then, like, you know, like fast forward like 15 minutes, we're in another store, and I'm like, "When did you buy that purse?" And she was like, "Oh my god, I think I stole it." So we went back and paid for it. But you got to be slick like that, dude, if you're going to jack from Macy's.
Exactly. You got away with it.
Yeah. You got to be nice with it like me. No. Anyway, so they stole some stuff from Macy's. They got caught on security camera. They were arrested. And I don't know. That's all I know so far. There's no announcement of discipline. I know they're looking into it. I think that's what Rick Villarreal said.
Yeah. Right. I haven't heard any you know, press release about it or anything specific, but I can tell you, I was very excited about Anton Jimerson. So, I know I really wanted to see what he could do next year, because he had some big spurts of really, really good football during his freshman year. So I was really excited about that. And, you know, something like that's not a very good thing for, you know, your potential to stay on a team. I don't want to speculate that he's going to be gone, but, you know, it's not a good start. Going and, you know, just starting the offseason to be getting in trouble like that already. And that's one thing I've never understood about athletes who have some decent talent as well. Having problems. I mean, just go to school, do the right things, play football, play basketball, whatever you do, and, you know, do what, you know, get your God bless talent, you know, and do a good job with it. But It's so disappointing, especially if he's not going to be here, because it really hampers things that McCartney's trying to build if Jimerson's not back.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing, is that, like, a lot of people like to blame athletes, you know, like, why these athletes don't appreciate what they have. There are a lot of people. This is a human issue. I've known tons of dudes that never play athletics that were just, you know, they had a good situation and they ruined it just by being stupid or doing something stupid. And so, this is, you know, this is a human problem here. I mean, that's the one thing that bothers me. People are like, "Oh, these athletes nowadays are so spoiled." But yeah, you're right.
It's a problem. I mean, everywhere you go, you're going to find people that get in trouble. It's just that when it happens to you, to your favorite athletes and players that you like, it's more of a talking point, I think. But I definitely agree. It's definitely a people problem, not just an athlete problem. I mean, these are just regular people who get the same problems that happen to regular people. And
Lord knows if you got a list of things I did when I was 19 and put them in front of me, I'd be really embarrassed also.
Exactly.
I hesitate to make value judgments on their character, it could be they're terrible people. It could also be that, they're just, being stupid and like, hey, let's see if we could take a shirt,
well could be. And hopefully that ends up being the case and they get a second chance, because, everybody deserves to get, a second chance most of the time, especially with something that's kind of small, unless they stole, all the jewelry, I don't think they held anybody up or anything. So it's not light by any means, but hopefully they'll get another chance. Cause it's not good news for the football program. There's not a whole lot of good news period around North Texas right now.
Yeah, I know that it's terrible to be a North Texas podcast.
There's not more of them.
Looking at it from a football standpoint. Okay, you lose probably the starter or maybe a likely starter, or at least somebody that's going to get a good chunk of carries. Because I think Antoine Jimerson was second in carries this season behind Brandon Byrd, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I mean, he was probably pretty. I think he was second, but he was pretty close.
Right. Yeah. And
they got about even.
Yeah, like you said, I think off the top of my head, I can think of five plays, really awesome plays in North Texas football this season, and two or three of them involve Antoine Jimerson in some aspect. Either it was that 75-yard touchdown on the screen pass, or the
run that sealed that game.
Yeah, or the little shake and bake that he did against Kansas State. And then, just one or two other plays here and there that make you go, wow, we have a talent back there. Freddie Warner is another guy. The secondary is an area of need. It's been said by Dan McCarney, they didn't want to go to nickel because they didn't feel like they had the depth to do it, and they didn't really feel comfortable putting those guys out there.
Yeah.
Freddie Warner has been injured like past 2 years, basically. So you may not remember him if you don't follow the team that closely, but he was the starter, and he was projected to start, this season too, and next season, and was going to be one of the pieces that was going to go a long way to fortifying that defense. But where do they turn to now? We got Devontae Davis. Hopefully he improves a little bit more. Zach Whitfield, where do they go from here?
Zach Whitfield's a young guy who showed some glimpses early in the season. I don't think he was as good towards the end. They did sign a pretty big
that's what I was getting at. James Jones from Kilgore.
And so, I think it's James Jones or something. So
yeah, the generically named James Jones.
Exactly. and he's played for Kilgore College for a few years, and he's supposed to be pretty good and could come in and make an impact. But, man, if they lose another corner, it's really just – I mean, the team's in bad shape in the secondary.
Yeah.
Because, even a guy like Trice, who I was very excited about coming into the season, was kind of disappointing at times too. But they gave up the big play and that would have kept them in a lot of games if they wouldn't have given up big passing plays over and over and over again. They could have stayed in some games. And so I hope that they have an answer. I don't know where they go, though. I don't know who else that steps up, though, with somebody else being gone, if he's gone for another year.
Yeah, see, some of the problems that, they're so young and they're so inexperienced. It's not just that they're young, but they're young at their positions. Like Zach Whitfield, I know I mentioned this, every time I talk about him, is that he was a former running back all the way, practically just up into that fall camp. And now a lot of guys make that transition, but,
doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah, and what happened, how you mentioned that he played really well at first and then kind of got exploited late in the season. I think a lot of people, they just learned that he's not good at these parts of his game, and so let's exploit that. And one of those things was double moves. I know Troy beat him on that long pass that set up the touchdown that basically won the game for them. And Arkansas State, Middle Tennessee State, everybody took a shot against. If you go back and watch every long pass that any team took, they took it against Zach Whitfield because they felt they could beat him that way. And that's just smart football, you know. So how do you defend that? You get a guy, you know, that can recognize those things better, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And hopefully we have that in a guy like James Jones who comes in with some experience and, you know, some talent.
And then you hope that a guy like Whitfield can learn from that and develop even more. So, I mean, because he showed glimpses, and if he can work on that, he could be a pretty good corner. He just needs a lot of work. He's still young and he's still new at it. So, you know, we can see what he does, but hopefully he'll get better, and then Jones can help, you know, supplement the defensive back problems.
Yeah, that's the thing about, like, I'm hearing myself in this thing. That's the problem with, like, defense, and a lot of times guys look worse than they maybe are. And I think this may be the case with, like, Marcus Trice, even though he missed some tackles sometimes, is that, like, if you have a weak link, say, cornerback, you start, you know, trying to cover for that or, like, you know, lean towards that, and then you end up giving up, you know, being weak in another area just because you couldn't cover this thing. If you have shut down corners, all of a sudden everybody looks amazing. You know, you can get to the quarterback easier. You know, the safeties come up, make tackles, you know, they get interceptions. All these other good things happen,
And that was the biggest problem with the team all season, is they never got turnovers. I mean, they went like 3 or 4 games without getting a turnover at one point in time. And that was one of the biggest things is, you know, you can't win games if you're not getting turnovers, but not forcing turnovers. So it got a little better towards the last couple games of the season, but, you know, they need people that can cover in the back so guys like, you know, Zach Orr can get in there and stop people. It'll make everything better.
Football is a team game, after all.
It is.
Yeah. And, okay, so this is, like, tangentially related, but I do think it's important because, as was pointed out by sister site somewhat, Coker Chronicles, like, UTSA, future Conference USA opponent, they had 4 guys get dismissed for, you know, being stupid, basically. and so they were all in the secondary. They're all cornerbacks. One was a starter, 2 were starters, and a couple were like up-and-comers, like a freshman that hadn't played or something like that. He pointed out, Jared at Coke Chronicles pointed out that this will probably mean that UTSA will start targeting, you know, cornerbacks. Obviously, they're going to need cornerbacks if they just kick 4 guys off. And some of those guys might be UNT targets. I think you mentioned like Chad Davis or somebody. I'm not huge on recruiting or anything like that, but I just kind of wanted to talk about and get your perspective on it because I haven't talked with you about like recruiting and things. Like, what is it like? What does UNT have to do, or how do they have to change their recruiting mindset now with like new up and comers like Texas State and UTSA and FBS basically recruiting against them?
Yeah, I think it's a big question because That's a program that's up and it's what last year was their first year, wasn't it?
Last season was their first year in FBS. Season? Yeah, it was the second season, first year in FBS though.
Yeah, so they're getting you know they're an upstart program where guys can probably go play immediately. You know, you think of it that way that you know with a new football program, they're young, they're you know getting guys that they have to get in just so they could you know build a team really well and stuff. So I know a lot of guys. He didn't rotate a lot of guys in. McCarney didn't with the defensive backfield. So, you know, you wonder if guys are sitting down the depth chart a little bit and they're thinking, you know, I can go to, you know,
UTSA
and play right away.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. And one of the weird things about it is it's got to be so hard to keep recruits and to recruit people nowadays with the way conferences are. It's just, everything's all over the place. But there are a ton of talent in Texas, and you got to think that there's plenty to go around everywhere. But everybody's getting better. I mean, the teams that are moving up into the Big 12, you know, are going to have more pull with players. You know, like SMU is going to get better. You know, TCU is going to get better. Those teams down there are going to get better. And so it's a very big question mark. And I don't know how you hold on to those guys though. I don't know how you convince guys to stay with your school. Over going somewhere else, but you got to just hope that we have good recruiters there to bring guys in every year, especially with new teams coming up into the Division I ranks.
Yeah, I guess the fact that we don't know is the reason that we're not recruiters out there. Like we're not on Dan McCarney's staff trying to get guys to sit down. We're just talking about it on the internet show. Yeah, well, I think that speaking of internet shows, I think that pretty much wraps up everything I had to talk about. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I think we covered everything. That was good.
Yeah. I'm kind of tired of talking now, believe it or not. I know my wife would be surprised by that. Yeah, so like, Justin, where can we find you on the internet?
You can follow me at Justin Brummett, and then from there you can go on to sportdfw.com and follow me there. I write about the Rangers and the Cowboys and the Mavericks every once in a while, but mostly UNT sports. So awesome. Real big into the basketball season right now, and hoping they flip things around.
Yeah, hoping that Lehigh game isn't as terrible as I imagine it will be.
I'm really excited to go there. You know, there's going to be 54 NBA scouts there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What the SID told me the other day. So I don't know where I'm going to sit. I'm kind of disappointed. I hope they don't kick me out.
Yeah, they're going to give you a little TV and stick you in the yeah, in the concession area.
Yeah, I'm really hoping I get my seat. So I'm going to get there like 2 hours early just to hopefully get my seat. I mean, why would you even have 54 scouts there in the first place? I don't know. Does every team need two scouts there?
Yeah, I guess it works. I read something about it. This is like real talk, not just joking. yeah, college basketball is kind of down. There's no like definite guy that you want to draft, and so I think a lot of these guys are just like looking for something to do, and it's like one of the few matchups between two guys that might go to the NBA. So
I think there may be a big game in town this weekend too, like a Cowboy Stadium or something, like a basketball game somewhere. Because I think they're all gonna like come to that game and then go for the weekend to another game or something. I don't know. That's what the SID was telling us. So it's kind of weird though. There's gonna be that many scouts, but
I think
they're definitely looking for Tony Mitchell to do something. So hopefully he'll break through and.
Yeah. They're not the only ones looking for Tony Mitchell to do something.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if Lehigh's just going to even guard him or not. Maybe they'll leave him open with the way he's been playing and passing it up.
Yeah, you know what? Pie in the sky. Hopefully he sees the way C.J. McCollum plays, and he's like, you know what? I could do that. Let me just do the same things that he's doing, and let me take over an average 25 points a game from now on.
Yeah, maybe it'll be like a like just a star battle on Thursday night, and they'll just go back and forth, you know, trading buckets. That'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, they say you get up for talent, right? Like you meet a guy that can play, and you want to outdo him, right?
Yeah, right? I mean, we just played Southeastern Louisiana, so maybe he's just playing down to his competition.
Maybe that's why he was so bored running up and down the court.
That's exactly what it was. I think so.
Okay, well, thanks, Justin, for joining us. I think for those of you that are fans of Tony and think he's so much better than me, he will be back on the podcast hopefully soon. He's been working. He just moved back to Dallas, so, you know, he's out there, you know, trying to make a living and whatnot. Yeah, so, Justin, we'd love to have you on here some other time. We'll see if we can work that out sometime.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, and thank you for listening. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter, Mean Green Nation. There's the blog, meangreennation.com, and they're all conveniently named. And also the forum. There's a new forum, and I know, you know, most of you are listening to this coming from gomeangreen.com. You don't have to just leave gomeangreen.com. You don't have to defect. You can just add it to, you know, your rotation. It's meangreennation.com/forum. Thanks for listening. Don't forget you can subscribe to this in iTunes. Tell your friends about it, et cetera, et cetera. Go Mean Green.